Good afternoon. John chapter 5. Let's see if we can't pick up where we left off. God has given us a life-changing gift. That gift is His Word. And that Word does change your life. It certainly will change your life. It certainly can change your life. But as you'll see with the Jews, it can't change your life if you won't accept it. It can't change your life if you reject it. John chapter 5 and verse number 24. Brother Craig, read for us, if you will.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
If a person will hear the word of God, several things will be true of that individual. First of all, he will honor Christ. He will honor him. And you know, in fact, the Jews needed to understand that, because they were certainly trying to receive the word of God, but somehow their reception of the word of God did not allow them to honor Jesus. They were trying to have a relationship with the Father, but somehow they were trying to have a relationship with the Father without having a proper relationship to Christ. So he says, if an individual hear my word and believe on him that sent me. So to hear Christ's word is to believe on the Father. Amen. But the Jews was messing this up. Notice verse number 23, and notice how they certainly should have honored the Son. So in the first place, when you think about these Jews, they're supposed to honor the Son as they honor the Father. Something the Jews desperately were in need of understanding, as they thought they could actually honor the Father while rejecting the Son. And so you think about this word honor, it is the Greek word tamao, and it means to prize or to fix a value upon. It means to revere. And the context is that the Son and the Father are one. Jesus in this context is showing that they are equal. So when you notice several verses, in fact, we don't necessarily have to read them all, but you look at verse number 17. Now, their problem with Jesus is that he was doing some things on the Sabbath day, verse 16. But in 17, he affirms that he has the same power over the Sabbath as does the Father. That's why he says the Father works and I work. Wow, they're accusing him of working on the Sabbath day. So Jesus is saying, I have the same power over the Sabbath as does the Father. In verse 18, his claim that God was his Father made him equal to the Father. And the Jews certainly understood what that meant. So the fact they wanted to kill Jesus, because Jesus, by saying that God was his Father, was making himself equal to the Father. In verse 19, he claimed to do the same things as did the Father. I mean, when you want to tell people it's Jesus God, just look at John chapter 5. Jesus is making some real claims here. And I tell you what, the way you know what the claims he's making is because it was not lost on the Jews what he was saying. They understood exactly what he was saying. By making these claims, you are saying that you are equal to the Father. And so therefore, Jesus is saying that, you know, the honor that you owe to the Father is the same honor that you owe to me. Now, who else would say something like that? Craig, would you say that? No, we know not to say anything like that. Why? We're not God. And we better not move in on his glory. We better not take any of that for ourselves. But Jesus says, you honor him, you're supposed to honor the Son. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I have authority over the Sabbath. I am equal to the Father. And so I am a son of the same nature. And the Jews understood it. In verse number 19, I can do the same things as does the Father. In verse number 20, he revealed that the Father shows him all things. In verse number 21, he says he possesses the same power to raise the dead as does the Father. Jesus is making some bold claims here, isn't he? Now think about that for a moment. He has the power to raise the physical dead while he was here on earth. John chapter 11, 43 and 44. When Jesus shows up to Lazarus' tomb, the Bible says that when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And my friend, let me tell you something, Lazarus came forth. I heard one preacher a long time ago say that if he had not called his name, everything in the cemetery would have got up. That's the power that he has. So he called Lazarus by name. He only wanted Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth with all the grave clothes on him, napkins on his face, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." You see, Jesus, while he was on earth, showing that he is equal to the Father and shows that he deserves the same honor as the Father, says that I have the power of the resurrection. Now, he showed it in three senses. While I was on earth, I showed it in my ability to raise Lazarus from the dead. Look down at verse number 25. He has the power to raise the spiritual dead. How does it read?
Hour is coming and now is.
That means whatever Jesus is talking about is right upon us. I mean, it is right here. It is time for it to take place. Jesus said the hour is coming and now is when what?
When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God.
When the dead who? The dead who are in their sins and in their trespasses are going to hear the voice of the Son of God. They're not going to hear Jesus' audible voice, but they're going to hear Jesus as he is represented through the apostles and those teachers of the gospel. When they come forth and they go out on Pentecost and preach the gospel, the first sermon, 3,000 folks are going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and those people being dead are going to come forth unto life. So Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. What is he saying? Listen, I on earth have the power to resurrect the physical dead. I also, when I leave this earth in representation of my disciples with the gospel, I will have the power to raise up the spiritual dead. And don't marvel at that, because I'm telling you now, in verse number 28, I'm going to have the power to raise up all the dead. Look at verse number 28.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Jesus says in verse 21 that he had the power, he possessed the power, as did the Father, to resurrect whomsoever he will. Showed it in his earthly ministry, resurrecting Lazarus and other individuals. He showed it also in his ability to send the gospel forth and resurrect folks out of their spiritual tombs. And here you and I still, in this century, are coming forth unto life as we respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are still, when the gospel is being preached, hearing the voice of the Son of God and coming forth unto life. And then he says, there's coming a time I'm going to come back and I'm going to call everybody out of the grave. So just like I told Lazarus to get up and Lazarus came forth, and just like I tell all men to come forth through the preaching of the gospel, I'm also going to one day tell everybody that has ever lived to come forth out of those graves, and they're going to be judged. In fact, Jesus adds back to verse 22 that I have the authority to judge you. Look at verse 22.
For the Father judgeth no man,
but what has he done?
But they have committed all judgment unto the Son.
Now, the power to judge implies the ability to search the heart. It implies his omniscience, to be able to understand all motives and all actions. So Jesus is actually claiming omniscience. Otherwise, how could he be the judge of all men? He's God. Paul makes reference to this fact in Acts chapter 17 with those that he meets on Mars Hill in verse number 31. He said, because he had appointed a day in which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and that he given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead. You know what Jesus says. Jesus said, I have the power to raise you, and after you are raised, I have the power to judge you. Now, shouldn't we honor him as we do the Father?
Yes.
How could you not honor one whom the Father honors in sending such power and authority in him? To dishonor Christ would be to dishonor the Father. Later in the text, look at John 5 and verse number 39. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to John 5.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life,
What were the Jews doing? Hold on. What were the Jews doing? They were searching the Old Testament scriptures, but what were they thinking? They were searching the Old Testament scriptures because they thought in the Old Testament scriptures that they had life. And so Jesus is basically saying, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, but what?
They are they which testify of me.
They were full of the testimony of Christ. You searching the scriptures for life, but the scriptures that you search for life, the life is in me. And the Jews apparently missed that, didn't they? You turn away from the one who is life, of whom the scriptures that you're searching spoke of. Well, they missed it, didn't they? When you hear Christ's word, you hear his doctrine. It is the way to eternal life. But when the Bible says hear, it doesn't mean the outward act of hearing. It means to hear with the intentions of responding in obedience. Matthew 11:15, John 8:47, Acts 2:23. Acts 3:23, rather. Many people will hear, but they will not respond to what is heard. They won't understand what is heard. Some even go as far as to reject what is heard. These are the ones who do not hear unto eternal life. But those who allow the word to make the right impression on the mind and then respond in obedience to what is heard, those hearers are the ones who find eternal life. Hearing Christ's word is the way out of condemnation. You see, man is already under condemnation. Look at John chapter 3, verse number 17 and verse number 18. How does that read?
For God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Mm-hmm.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already.
You see, the world was already under condemnation. Christ is the way out of the condemnation, out from under the condemnation of which man is under because of his unbelief. The Jews had a problem with Jesus, and they had a problem in John 5 with everything Jesus was claiming. But Jesus was claiming simply this: you don't honor me, you try to honor my Father, but you're not honoring the Son. If you try to honor the Father while rejecting the Son, you actually dishonoring the Father who gave such power to the Son. Amen. And so Jesus wanted the Jews to understand that. And you know, it's not lost on me, and it shouldn't be lost on you, that that had to be some kind of imagery for the Jews when Jesus says, the Father don't even judge any man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. And he says, you know, I want you to consider something. I have the power of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. So that life that you've been searching for throughout the Old Testament scriptures, you thought that was going to give you life, and yet that life was given through me. So the Old Testament scriptures should have brought you right to me, and then you would have found out that I am the true source of the life that came from those Old Testament scriptures. But somehow something got mixed up here, and now you think you're going to receive life. But let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to resurrect you. Now, you could come out of those spiritual tombs if you would hear my word and hear my doctrine and you would receive me, but you won't do that. But there's going to come a time when I'm going to resurrect you, and then I'm going to be your judge. Amen. That can't be good, because the world is already under condemnation. But for those who are in Christ, who come to him through his word, Romans 8:1 says, there are therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, the function of the law was to pronounce condemnation, but the function of the gospel is to pronounce pardon. Someone has paid the debt. Hearing Christ's word is the way that we pass over. He says, they have passed over from death to life. Isn't that what Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1? And you hath he quickened who were dead in their trespasses and sins. In verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, he had quickened us together in Christ. When they heard the word of the gospel and obeyed it, they became Christians and passed from death unto life. You see, that's why it's so important for individuals to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you pass from death unto life. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you mean? Well, think about it this way. One passes from a death of unbelief to a life of faith. How about that? Now you have a life of faith. Now you will do things by faith. You hear in the Old Testament scriptures 18 times in the Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, by faith, by faith. You see all of these great individuals who endured, they did things by faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4. So you see, he was able to do what he did by faith. When you consider Enoch, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God, Hebrews 11, chapter 5. How did he please God? He did it by faith. By faith, Noah being warned of God, things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, by faith, by faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. For if they had been mindful of the country from which they came out, then would they have opportunity to have returned. But now they seek a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. These are some folks that did not even receive some of the things that they were promised, but they saw them afar off. They were yet in the future, yet they had enough faith to keep them going and moving according to God's will, even though those things were not going to happen in their lifetime. Now that's some faith for you. Because we always got to have something we can see and put our hands on, something that's going to materialize in our lifetime. These folks are looking in the future. That's why Moses made the decision that he made. He refused to be called the daughter of Pharaoh's, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be with those people in Egypt. And he accepted, my friends, that there was greater riches in Christ. He did that by faith. You see, when you leave, when you're going to cross over from death unto life, you pass from a death of unbelief and you move to a life of faith. And faith will move us right on through this life. Because now everything is characterized by the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. You see, when one passes from death, he passes from a death of falsehood to a life of truth. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll buy the truth, Proverbs 23 and verse number 23, and we'll sell it not. We'll be sanctified through the truth, because that's what Jesus' prayer was. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We'll know the truth. And the truth, the Bible says, will make us free. And see, now you pass from a death of falsehood to a life of truth. You pass from a death of sin to a life of righteousness. You pass from a death of misery to a life of blessings. Now, we've got a blessed life. Now, we God's blessed men and women. Now, we are favored by him. And now, we have a hope for the future. I mean, it gets a lot brighter when you move from a life or death of misery to a life of blessings, and on and on and on and on. God's life-changing gift is his word. Let's stop there. Let me finish this next week. Because I don't want to rush it. And y'all have eaten turkey. And I don't think I can yell right now any louder to keep y'all up. So we'll finish that next week. But John 5 is so important, because that word of God entering in gives life. Because when those Old Testament
scriptures were being searched out by those Jews, they thought that in those Old Testament scriptures they had life. But Jesus is saying, life is in me. And those Old Testament scriptures that you're searching, you've been searching for life, would have brought you right here to me. And you would have found that the life that you're for which you're looking is in the Son. And once you find out that the life is in the Son, then you understand that you have to accept my word. You have to accept my doctrine. And when you receive my word, that's what will give you life. Because I'm equal to the Father. Because he reveals all things unto me. Because you think I violated the Sabbath and I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I'm greater than the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath. Because I am the judge. The Father's not judging you. I'm going to judge you. All judgment has been committed to the Son. And because I am the resurrection and the life, so I also have the ability to resurrect whomsoever I wish. That's why I could say Lazarus come forth while I was here on earth. And that's why even when I return to heaven, I'm going to be bringing folks forth from the tombs of sin. By calling them through the gospel, they'll hear my voice and they'll come forth. And if you don't comply, at some point, I'm going to bring everybody forth. And then I'll be your judge. Anyone who can make those claims, even the implication of his omniscience is there. Because in order to be the judge, I have to know the motives. I have to know the heart. I have to be able to peer into every man's heart in order to judge him righteously. And so the Lord says, I'm omniscient. And so therefore, I am God. Jews wanted to kill him. We want to obey him. We want to respond to him. We want to follow him. We want to honor him as we do the Father. He is certainly deserving of it. See, the word gives life. What happens if you don't accept the word? Then you'll have no life. But if you're here this afternoon and you want to accept the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to come and give your life to him. Through belief in him as God's Son, repenting of your sins, being willing to confess before witnesses that he is the Christ, Son of the living God, and also being willing to be baptized, immersed with him in a watery grave. Contact the blood of Jesus Christ so that your sins can be washed away. And then, my friends, you be faithful to him, and he will give you life. If you need to respond to this, we'll give you an opportunity right now as we stand and as we sing the invitation songs. Oh,